aquifer from the surrounding volcanoes. The salt meant the sea could not be far away, which meant that Ankh Ridge must also be close. Grom, their explosives expert, reined in his horse alongside Uchicho.
That would make a fine show for my toys.
Grom was almost stone deaf and shouted all the time. He pointed to a large dam with towers set across a valley to their left. It dominated the valley where they rode, silhouetted against the amber sky, which was splashed with streaks of vivid green lightning. Uchicho faced him so Grom could read his lips.
The water will be frozen, Grom.
No, Uchicho. See ahead? There is a river that flows and there is green to its sides. Away beyond that dam, you see the smoking cone of a volcano. It heats the water so it flows. Let me burst it and wash all the way down here. It would be a fine sight, I swear.
Not now, brother. Perhaps another day, but not yet. Not now.
What is that, Uchicho?
Evening was dragging its murky cloak across the wasteland, the yellow clouds turning a sullen maroon. It had snowed a little during the late part of the afternoon, dusting the trail ahead. The dam was still visible behind them. This time it was Vochka who spoke. As he did so, the puckered scar at the corner of his fat mouth twitched and danced.
Well,
yonder, like a large ball.
Uchicho strained his eyes into the gloom. He saw several squat buildings and a large saucer-shaped object, which was cracked along one side and mounted on a tripod. It was difficult to judge its size, but it looked to be about 100 feet in height. There was also a huge ball, half as high again, that seemed to be made from a complicated pattern of interwoven triangles. Uchicho had never seen anything like it, but it nagged at his memory. There had been something like it in one of the old history books in Yakutsk.
I think it was a defense against firefights.
What?
Uchicho nodded, the facts trickling back into his mind.
It was called radar, Vochka. It was a way of seeing great distances and watching for enemies. There were many such installations along the coasts. I have read that such buildings stood where the Sakhalin and Kamchatka lands were. But they were... They were primary objectives for the nukes. This one must have been missed.
Should we go look, Uchicho? Might there not be much gold?
Imbecile. Would there be gold after 100 years? They were not places of wealth. Now, let us ride on by.
Perhaps we could camp there if the buildings are safe.
Perhaps, brother. Perhaps we can.
And watch for enemies.
Our enemies are all ahead of us. We need no radar to tell us that.
None behind?
Yet. If there were, then they stayed back in Russia. They will never be a threat to the Narodniki.
150 miles behind the Narodniki, Major Grigory Zimyanin was leading his group of 100 mounted militia. They were at the foothills of the Alaskan Range, spread well out, the horses picking their way carefully through the torturous mountain terrain. Alyuf, the tracker, was a little ahead of them, waving them forward. Zimyanin had deliberately held up the crossing of the Bering Strait, hesitant at the enormousness of what he was doing, and uncertain whether the party would approve. But now that he was closing in on his prey, some 3 or 4 days behind, it was time to press forward at all speed. As his horse crested a rise, the officer's heart filled with pride. This might just be the beginning of the end. The crucifix was blackened and seared by the fires from the heavens. Icicles hung in the crevices around the twisted, tortured form nailed to the metal cross. The fingers were gone, so were the tips of the thorned crown, melted away a century back. The flesh of the crucified Christ was satin black, like the wing of a crow, polished by the ceaseless wind to a velvet consistency. It stood bolted firmly to the tottering remnants of what had once been the side of a small brick church, almost under the haunting shadow of a mountain. Its 20,000-foot summit was permanently obscured by snow spume and chem clouds. Around the crucifix, kneeling on the sharp stones, were about 20 people, most of them women. They wore dark clothes wrapped around them in layers, giving them a funereal appearance. Their leader, a tall, skeletal figure with wild eyes and long black hair, was standing in front of them, facing the crucifix.
blessed are the nukes.
And blessed shall be the fallout.
Blessed is the punishment of the Dark Lord.
And blessed are the nails of his hands and his feet.
Blessed are the long chill and the many rads.
Blessed be both the short heat and the long cold.
We await thy coming, Lord.
Aye, we await thy black visage.
Then shall we be released from bondage and into eternal life among those in the bunkers below.
The man turned then to gaze out at them.
In this place, tainted by the blood of many, shall we stay until he cometh to lead us to salvation. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
The others rose one by one, and at that moment, they heard the distant sound of engines, throbbing and whining off to the south. Anchorage was not where it was supposed to be. The group stopped the three buggies and got out on a bluff overlooking the sullen expanse of gray-green ocean. JB and Ryan checked their maps, glancing at the compass for bearings, where what had once been a sizable city, according to their calculations, was barren wasteland. JB's sallow face showed no emotion.
Nukes?
Maybe. That's a big crater out there.
He pointed to the east, where a smudge of smoke showed against the pale sky.
Crater? Why should that ring a distant bell? I fear me I do not remember.
Or maybe our maps are for shit.
The wind was so strong that it was blowing a waterfall that flowed over the cliffs back into a rainbow arch over their heads, drenching them. It wasn't a place to hang around, with some particularly vicious gulls gathering and swooping.
You can throw out those fucking maps. The whole fucking place has changed.
Maybe not away from the coast. There's another big town shown here, Fairbanks. We'll make for that.
After only 6 or 7 miles of uneven driving, Ryan slowed, waiting for the others to come alongside. Not bothering with the radio, he stuck his head through a side obstacle and shouted,
"Something ahead! See him?"
In a shallow valley,